Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Lauren Tenney, and I am in the process of trying out something new here on Blog Talk Radio. I am streaming on Twitch under Mental American Monster, and I'm about to start editing the manuscript, Loretta Bender MD, The Children's Shock Doc, and going through that process live on Twitch. I'm imagining there's going to be quite a bit that I'm going to cut out of. And for those of you who are on Twitch, you see me now in the middle of doing this. I'm saving the document as cut from Bender cut 12/29/2021. And so I'll have two documents running. If I could get to them, I thought I just saved that, but I guess it didn't work. And so one will be the document that I'm reading from that those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio will hear in just a moment. And then those of you who are on Twitch, you see me trying to screw around with saving this file. Bender cut 12/29/2021. That way, anything that I'm taking out of the one document for publication, I'll paste into the other so that I still have it. And so I'll just copy that and cut this here. It looks like I'm on air and that this is all working. So I don't know, if you're listening and you're live, let me know. And then I'll just put here, cut from there. And then put the autosave on. Nope, won't put the autosave on. Just save that. Okay. So let's see. So Loretta Bender, MD, The Children's Shock Doc. I am Lauren Tenney, doing a live editing session here on Twitch and on Blog Talk Radio simultaneously. Okay, so the materials set forth in this paper are part of a series of forthcoming articles based on historical archival work focusing on the career of Loretta Bender, MD. The entire descent into this history was inspired by one of the people who participated in a participatory action research project, Devoiced, Human Rights Now, which was my dissertation in 2014. The method utilized in Devoiced was an adaptation of the environmental autobiography put forward by Horowitz, Klein, Paxson, and Rivlin in 1978. I called it an environmental workography. This method employed an open-ended dialogue technique where I asked three main questions about the trajectory of participants' careers. If there were environments experienced which influenced their work, what issues their work focused on, and if there were environments which were helpful or unhelpful to accomplishing their work. 14 adults from various locations in the U.S. who had both a personal psychiatric history and a career in psychiatric systems change explored their environmental workographies with me. This process produced 40 hours of raw video footage, some of which was submitted to the Devoiced project as video data. Nearly 3 years would pass from when the construction of the environmental workographies occurred in 2011. To when I embarked on this course of archival research. I was so grateful that I had used video as a research tool. Video data truly did afford me the ability to relive the environmental workographies years after the fact, as first generation data, as Turan and Chapin in 2008 suggested the method allowed. If I were simply relying on my memory or notes or even a transcription and word analysis, I may have missed the significance of a name I had not previously recognized, but eventually heard with repeated viewings of the video data, Loretta Bender. In an exchange with one of the participants, it was shared that at age 6 and 10 months old, he was sent to Bellevue Hospital where he received electric shock. Electroconvulsive treatment, ECT, coursing electricity through the brain in order to cause a grand mal seizure. This is long before anesthesia was involved. It was delivered by Loretta Bender. Later in our conversation, trying to get a handle on these experiences that motivated the course of his career, I had asked him what Bellevue was like for him. He explained that he did not want to talk about the actual experiences of being at Bellevue Hospital because it was too painful. This alone should indicate the level of pain that was inflicted on him by this supposed, quote, help he was subjected to as a child. At the time of the construction of his environmental orthography, it was 68 years after he had been at Bellevue Hospital, and yet it was still too painful for him to discuss. I immediately understood the significance of the pain he experienced and asked him to only discuss what he felt comfortable sharing. One night, as I was reviewing the videotapes, putting together educational videos about what I had learned through the D-Voice project, a passage from this person below added a new direction in my historical research. Despite the emotional pain it caused him to discuss his early childhood experiences, without describing experiences he had while at Bellevue, nor what Bellevue was like prior to me asking him Bellevue was like, he had discussed some of the ramifications of his stay at Bellevue Hospital, specifically the effects of electroshock on his young mind. These experiences he discussed included having had his, quote, mental map of his neighborhood wiped out after being subjected to electroshock. He conveyed the experience of being a terrified 7-year-old, unable to find his way home after riding his tricycle around his own neighborhood. In response to the first question of the environmental workography, were there environments which inspired your work? The environments that inspired his work he isolated as Rockland State Hospital and Bellevue Hospital in New York State. Ted explained that his mother, who had been involved with the psychiatric system, was reinstitutionalized shortly after he was born and, quote, she turned me over to the New York Foundling Hospital. I was 10 days old, and they placed me in a foster home when I was 5 months old. Ted explained that, quote, because my mother had been, quote, crazy, the fashionable theory then was that, quote, schizophrenia was inherited, so obviously I had to be schizophrenic too. So everything I did became a symptom. Meanwhile, this psychiatrist, Dr. Loretta Bender, was making a name for herself by trying out shock treatment on children. It had been invented in Italy in 1938, the year after I was born, and Dr. Bender was bringing it to America and trying it out on children, end quote. In the video, you can hear me ask him, what year is this? He replied, me, in the beginning of 1944, January of 1944, and continued. Quote, and so New York City Child Welfare and the person at the Foundling Hospital were perfectly happy to turn over a whole bunch of children to Dr. Bender to be experimented on with shock treatment. So my impression, although I was very young, but my impression was almost all the children there were foster children or in orphanages, or at least from poor families. Not too many upper middle class kids. It was a public hospital anyway, Bellevue. So I was taken there 2 months before my 7th birthday and given 20 shock treatments. And when I got out in May of 1944, it's 2 months past my 7th birthday, and my memory from my, I remember riding around on my tricycle. I lived in Woodlawn. It's like a small town of about a square mile. And I used to ride my tricycle all over Woodlawn, and I always knew where I was. I had this mental map. And what I was what I remember happening when I got out of Bellevue, first, I was just terrorized and didn't want to leave home for a long time. And then finally, I got on my tricycle and I did what I always used to do, which was ride around the neighborhood on my tricycle. and I'm riding around the neighborhood on my tricycle, and I suddenly realized I didn't know where I was because the shock treatment had wiped out my mental map of Woodlawn. And so I started crying, and I guess I had something. I can still remember my phone number and wonder if I had that memorized, Fairbanks 41699. I still remember my phone number from 68 years ago, and so it must have been really drilled into me. In any case, some neighbor got me home, and it was terrifying. And there was a little boy named Carl who had probably been my best friend. He lived about a half a block away, which is really only two houses away, and I don't remember who he was. So the social worker says that my loss of memory was a sign that my schizophrenia was getting worse because, of course, the shock treatments couldn't possibly damage me. In October 1944, the social worker came and took me to Rockland State Hospital, and I never saw her again. I never saw anybody from the family hospital again until I was about 16, when apparently a new social worker was assigned to me at the family hospital because I went on their books. I know as a client of theirs, and they were getting government money because they were my guardians. That night, I again reviewed the videos. That's at the end of the tense quote. Back to me. Kind of making an analysis of this. Okay, reading again. That night, I again reviewed the video as I heard Loretta Bender's name more clearly than I had previous times. Perhaps with time and distance, the original horror and importance of hearing that this person discussed being electroshocked at 6 years old, the devastating ramifications of memory loss he experienced, and the knowledge that my own experience, torturous but so brief in comparison, and me always describing my own institutionalization as occurring as a young person at 15 years of age, having to reorganize my understanding, imagining that this began instead at 10 days old as it had for him, my phenomenological analysis deeply thickened. As this added information settled into my understanding, I was able to better focus in the larger picture. Quote, this psychiatrist, Dr. Loretta Bender, I heard him say on video years later, yet as it was happening for the very first time in front of me, I had that exact experience of reliving firsthand generation data, like Turan and Chapin in 2008 discussed. I became curious and thought, what time could it waste to Google her name? A minute? So I did just that and immediately had a return for Loretta Bender. To be specific, the Google search returned 52,200 hits for the keywords, quote, Dr. Loretta Bender, and 1,830,000 hits for Loretta Bender, MD. Each search completed in less than 1 minute. This article does not represent the massive information on the internet, nor its legitimacy concerning Loretta Bender, nor every aspect of electroshock on children. Instead, I focus on the historical accounts of Loretta Bender and electric shock on children, shorter 2013, instead of focusing. I don't even understand. So, okay, here's the first sentence that we have to edit. Instead, I focus on historical accounts of Loretta Bender and electroshock on children. Oh, shorter, 2013, that's that new book. Well, now it's not new anymore. In 2013, it was the new book on use of electroshock on children, and Edward Shorter, the psychiatrist, starts off his whole thing about that. So I'll have to come back to this. Let me highlight that so that, why didn't that highlight? So that I'll know to add some sentences there. Okay, so some of the literature published from the 1940s through the 1960s by the psychiatrists using electroshock. Bender in 1947, 1953, and 1961. Bender, Goldschmidt, and Sanker, 1962. Bender and Gruget, 1954. Clardy, 1951, and Clardy and Rumpf in 1954. Those are the main articles that I'm looking at in this piece. In some ways. I'm also like actively accessing Loretta Bender's papers, but I haven't gotten to that yet. Okay, so of most interest, and there it is. Of most interest is the use of a selection from the papers of Loretta Bender, which can be found at the library at Brooklyn College, City University of New York, in the special collections. And there is a footer there. And I just would like to thank all the people at Brooklyn College who assisted me in accessing her papers and photocopying hundreds of them for me. And I really should highlight that and make that a better statement. Okay. I'm reading again. From the quotes from this person who participated in D Voice, reprinted above, one can see the damage electroshock did to him and how the residual pain from the reality he was subjected to endures in his life. This alone is of concern. Sadly, there's more. Here, I'm going to offer some direct connections to what this environmental workographer offered to the literature base and extend what happened to him to hundreds of other children in the late 1930s through the 1950s, and by now, perhaps thousands of children, although an accurate number seems impossible to produce. I would say probably tens of thousands of children. But I'm going to highlight that just to double check, but that's not me exaggerating. Edward Shorter, in 2013, wrote a chapter, The History of Pediatric Psychiatry, quote, The History of Pediatric ECT, in a book comprised of writings from proponents of electroshock on children, which was edited by Mira Guzidian, I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong, and Gary Walter in 2013. Relying on a personal communication with the infamous Dr. Max Fink, Andre, 2008, my own manuscript in preparation, and Shorter confirmed what the person who participated in D Voice suggested was Loretta Bender's goal of making a name for herself by trying out shock treatment on children. Shorter wrote in 2013, quote, credit for the introduction of pediatric ECT in the United States, ECT, and I put a sick after that, belongs to Loretta Bender, head of the Children's Ward of Psychiatric Division of Bellevue Hospital in New York City, and one of the founders of pediatric psychiatry, who in 1942 initiated convulsive therapy in patients ranging from age 4 to 12, page 4, end quote. The use of electroshock on children began earlier than 1942. In an article, quote, clinical research from inpatient services for children 1920 to 1957, published by Bender in 1961 in the Psychiatric Quarterly, which discussed a historical account of psychological and psychiatric experimentation and theoretical development, a section of it focusing on the activities of Bellevue Hospital's Children's Unit, which Bender joined in 1934, concerning electroshock, Bender in 1961 wrote, quote, physiological therapies have included insulin, metrazole, Cottington 1941, and electric convulsive treatment, Bender et al. 1947 to 1954, which has been in use since 1938, page 97. Now, in all fairness, maybe she was the first to use it on children because electroshock was created by Cerletti in 38. So I should, where I have that began earlier, just double check because maybe some of her research goes back a little bit earlier than that. And that's fun, aren't you glad you're watching this? How long have I been doing this? It's only 20 minutes. Feels like forever. Okay. In an article, quote, clinical research from inpatient services for... Oh, I just read that. Okay, so in the construction of his environmental workography, it was explained to me by the person who participated in D-Voice that, quote, because my mother had been crazy, the fashionable theory then was, quote, schizophrenia, quote unquote, was inherited. So obviously I had to be, quote, schizophrenic too. So everything I did became a symptom. end quote. Bender, in 1953, further defined what is meant by the diagnostic term, quote, childhood schizophrenia, and explained the, quote, variety of clinical pictures in different schizophrenic children, page 673. This is the exact way that Bender saw the difference of a spectrum that ranged from autism to schizophrenia in children, a spectrum she defined, literally defined, that ranged from autism to schizophrenia in children. Thus, this is a direct quote, thus, some schizophrenic children are regressed, in language we just don't use, regressed, retarded, fixated, blocked, inhibited, mute, autistic, withdrawn, physically aesthetic, puny or underdeveloped, unsocial, unable to relate, concretistic in their thinking. But there are other schizophrenic children who are just the opposite. They are precocious, develop too fast, have an exaggerated intellectual brilliance, are overactive, and cannot be suppressed in their activity. They have precocious language development, are highly articulate, and often show special gifts, especially in language, the graphic arts, and dancing, and in their insight into psychological problems. They tend to over-identify in any group, and they relate too well. These children call forth strong countertransferences from adults. They are excessively abstract in their thinking. Some children go through phases of these extremes of behavior, while most of them show mixtures of the tendencies, although one or the other may be predominant. Pages 673 to 674. Spectrum disorders have always been offensive and dehumanizing. According to Bender's 1953 design symptomatology of childhood schizophrenia, any deviation above or below the supposed normative functioning of a child was grounds for the psychiatric diagnosis of schizophrenia, which at the time included autism. As a spectrum. The diagnosis of childhood schizophrenia to Bender in 1953 necessitated the treatment of electric shock and drugs, page 668. The idea of shocking and drugging children who caused, quote, strong countertransference in adults, page 673, or who, quote, have an exaggerated intellectual brilliance, page 673, ought to be as discomforting as the idea of shocking and drugging children who are described as, quote, puny, quote, mute, or, quote, unsocial, page 673, or any of the other determining categories, pages 673 to 674, which Bender suggested. Some years later, after her experimentation with electroshock ended, Bender in 1961 wrote, quote, considerable design research has tended to confirm these clinical experiences and the associated hypothesis. Concerning the confirmation of the diagnosis, epidemiological factors, diagnostic criteria, and the effect of electrically induced convulsions on some personality and intellectual functions, as developed by Bender and coworkers, included A.A. and Friedman, A.E. Grugett, Saul Gruvetz, W. Helm, and W.R. Keeler, 1952 and 1953. Part of what I keep finding important and see as an indicator of the problems of the use of psychiatric places, practices, procedures, and products present. Well, that's present. Part of what because I love the alliteration, I got made fun of for my P's and my D's, but I still like them. Part of what I keep finding important and see as an indicator of the problems of the use of psychiatric places, practices, and a seen indicator of is of probably ask me like spell the word of and I get lost. It ain't easy, anyway. Okay, and see, as an indicator of problems of problems created by problem. You know what? I'm just going to highlight it because I don't know what I'm doing. So, but let's just read it as it is and you'll figure it out, maybe. Part of what I keep finding important and see as an indicator of problems psychiatric places, practices, procedures, and products present is how the language that is utilized to describe these things continually changes. That's actually kind of funny. Okay, so while in 1961, Bender referred to electroshock as electroconvulsive treatment and electrically induced convulsions on page 97, those are direct quotes, these descriptions are quite different than how she described the procedure in earlier work when she was actively experimenting on children at the taxpayer-funded Bellevue Hospital. It's Bender in 1947 and 53 and Bender and Gruget in 1954. For example, concerning one of her main experiments on children, Bender wrote, quote, 100 who were diagnosed schizophrenic between 1943 and 1946, when they were 4 to 12 years of age, were treated with electric shock. These children all were pre-pubertal when the diagnosis was made, and 85% of them in 1951 were in the post-puberty period, ranging from 9 to 18 years of age. This group of 100 electroshock-treated children was reported on the American Neurological Association meeting in 1947. Bender, 1953, page 666. I kid you not. At the time of writing that article, quote, childhood schizophrenia, quoted from above, Bender in 1953 explains, quote, I have been working on the children's wards at the psychiatric division of Bellevue Hospital since 1934, or for more than 18 years, page 664. In a footnote, she specified, quote, I have had research support from the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Masons for about 8 years, and from the Mental Health Institute of the United States Public Health Service for 3 years, page 664, 1953. In fact, in the papers of Loretta Bender located at Brooklyn College, CUNY's library and the special collections, I read multiple letters and reports concerning this funding stream. For example, there was one letter written to Bender written on November 10, 1948, it was on New York State Psychiatric Institute stationery. Under New York seal was printed Nolan D. C. Lewis, MD, director. The letter was in fact from Nolan Lewis. He signed it as the, quote, field director, Committee on Research in Dementia Praecox. It's spelled wrong. P-R-E-C-O-X is how he spelled it. The content of the letter was a request. That's what schizophrenia used to be called, if you didn't know that, dementia praecox. The content of the letter was a request to Bender to report on her project funding and any desire she might have to continue the project sent to him, which would then be, quote, presented to the committee. Lewis opened his letter by stating, quote, I have been notified that the Scottish Rite Research Committee will meet on Sunday, November 28th to review the present situation with the projects that are being aided by their funds, end quote, the papers of Loretta Bender. Bender responded to Lewis on November 23rd, 1948 in the form of a report on activities, which included that the childhood schizophrenia research, quote, progressed with some handicaps, end quote, the papers of Loretta Bender. Bender explained to Lewis, quote, although our application for a budget from the public health funds of the Federal Mental Health Act was approved, as you know, We did not receive any funds during 1948, although it looks as if we would in the course of 1949. The $1,000 which the Scottish Rite Research Committee assigned to the project was granted to Dr. R. Rabinovich, the papers of Loretta Bender. Bender explained that the bulk of the work was supporting, quote, group therapy for parents, end quote. As an update to her research, she suggested, quote, electroshock does not hurt children and they can tolerate it better than adults, and that it does modify the clinical picture and personality development in a favorable way, end quote. She also said that in two children who have, quote, very superior intelligence, that should be half, IQ of 180 and 160, that each child gained between 20 and 40 points in IQ following shock, end quote. She requested through Lewis $1,000 for 6 months from the Scottish Rite Masons to continue these activities. On January 4th, 1949, Bender sent a letter to Lewis acknowledging a check from the National Committee on Mental Hygiene for $500 for a three-month period. This letter will be further discussed in a future article specifically examining the relationship between the National Committee on Mental Hygiene and the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Masons. But it also, like, directly implies Clifford Beers and Adolf Meyer and William James and the whole beginnings of eugenics in psychiatry and psychology, which we'll probably get to soon. I need to get something to drink. Here, let's see. For those of you who are listening in, I'm just switching my screen for a second to YouTube. And I'm going to take a commercial break by sharing some Mental American Monster draft footage while I go run and get something to drink. So let's see.
Pills versus Bleeding by AMA. My folks one day thought I was sick, and for a doctor.
That's me just pausing it. I'm just setting up the stream here for those who are watching it live.
There. They did speak. So then, as sure as I'm alive, a great big quack did soon arrive. With whiskers long and eyes quite black, thinks I, old fellow, you all sack. He talked of this and then of that while in my room sedate she sat. I thought he'd do nothing but talk, and out of my room would quickly walk. He soon commenced his operations, in spite of all my remonstrations. A box of pills were in his hands, which made my hair on end to stand. These are for you, he said to me, and from all pain they'll set you free. So pills I took, both black and blue, but still no good they seemed to do. For I grew still more sick and sore, while pills each day I took a score. Till at last I out of patience got, and from the pills relief I sought. Still in spite of all I could do, they crammed them down me, not a few. The doctor now at once did see that pills were not the thing for me. Some other means I'll have to try, or else this man will surely die. Next day he came for me to bleed, although of blood I couldn't be. So out it came, the shining lamp, so then how I did jump and dance. But three strong men of me took hold, which I did think was very bold. They held me firm, they held me fast, till doctor he got through at last. But still I did no better yet, which made the doctor scold and fret. Pills and bleeding were all in vain to take away this awful pain. said to me, you're very ill, so now prepare to make your will, and for another world make ready, for there you know you must be steady. But yet my friends did not believe that I soon this world would leave, so off I went for Dr. S, who came and found me in distress. He thought that I would soon get well if he could doctor me a spell. To work he went with all his might and wrapped me in a blanket tight. To steam me now he did begin, which I did think was quite a sin. What can he mean by this, thought I? He surely wants to have me die. Hot tea he gave me quite enough, how I did hate the nasty stuff. It made me feel so very bad, I really thought I would go mad. The doctors all did what they could, although they did but little good, to cure the body and the mind, a remedy they could not find. So when their skill was put to test, and each had tried to do his best, they said no help there was for me, for I, a sufferer, must be. Meanwhile, my friends were all distracted to see the lay in which I acted. To Judica they brought me then and left me with the crazy men. I've been here 6 months and more, and who steal as well as ever before. Now glad am I of the news to tell that I at last have got quite well.
Okay, so
how do I stop this?
On July 25th, 1867. 16 screens. Okay. Dr. Ruth. Okay. So I'm just going to squish that down and put it back on the other side. Okay. So I got something to drink, so I think I'll be good for a little. This is a 44-page long thing. Okay. November 3rd, 1949. There was a similar letter from Lewis to Bender to his 1948 letter. This November 1949 letter was also written on New York State Psychiatric Institute stationery, requesting Bender to send a progress report and further requests for grants, which he could present at, quote, the Scottish Rite Research Committee on November 20th, end quote. Bender's response in... Bender's... Bender's response included the grant from December 1948 was used in some by June 1949, but still is coming out wrong. I'll look at it later. Okay, we're still in Loretta Bender's papers here, if you're just tuning in. So Bender's response included that the grant from December 1948 was used in some by June 1949. The support that they were expecting from the United States Public Health Services were, quote, made available to me on September 20th, 1949, end quote. Bender wrote, however, they still needed funds to continue the group therapy for parents and requested another installment of $1,000 for 6 months. A final exchange between Bender and Lewis concerning funding from the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Masons occurred with another letter on New York State Psychiatric Institute letterhead from Lewis to Bender dated May 23rd, 1949, again requesting another progress report, only this time there was not an invitation to suggest a request for further funding. I want to be very clear, there may be other communications. This is just what I was able to read while I was looking through Loretta Bender's papers at Brooklyn College, City University of New York's library. On June 1st, 1949, Bender responded with an update that the $1,000 installment was used as of June and attached a report of findings of the parent group therapy, which was prepared by Dr. Sarnoff, who at the time was conducting the groups. This update included such items such as, quote, findings and, quote, results of the, quote, parenting program, which, according to Sarnoff's report, started in January 1949, when he was funded to do the work, but really had been going on some years prior to then. Sarnoff suggested the goal of the program was twofold. First, quote, treatment for the parents with its resulting effect upon the children, end quote. Second, quote, further data in investigation of the schizophrenic process in childhood, end quote. Sarnoff's first, quote, finding was, quote, deep confusion of parents regarding their child's illness, end quote. The 10th and final, quote, result of the program offered by Sarnoff was, quote, data relating to the family dynamics and heredity factors that had been accumulated, end quote, the papers of Loretta Bender. At the close of Bender's 1949 letter to Lewis for her report to the Masons on childhood schizophrenia research program, which included Sarnoff's report, Bender did request, quote, another sum equivalent to the one received for the first 6 months of the year to carry us through the end of the year, the papers of Loretta Bender. Another letter addressed to Father R.P. Augustin Delorius of Montreal, Canada, from Loretta Bender in her role as senior psychiatrist at Bellevue Hospital, was dated December 15, 1944. Here, Bender explained, quote, the Scottish Rite Masons 33rd degree in Northern Jurisdiction has given me another grant for research for 1945 on the children's ward of the psychiatric division of Bellevue Hospital, .. This would be a full-time appointment and would include research fellowship in New York University's Medical School and Bellevue Hospital. It would start March 1st, and you would receive $175 a month, the papers of Loretta Bender. Using the United States Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, CPI, Consumer Price Index Inflation Calculator, $175 in 1945, quote, has the same buying power as $2,282.59 in 2014. Father Delorius responded to Dr. Bender in a letter dated January 6, 1945. He wrote, quote, please accept my deepest and earnest thanks for your kindness and consideration in granting me a fellowship at Bellevue. As I told you, I am very happy to accept it. Bernstein, in 2001, when discussing festering problems in the foster care system, momentarily pointed to the connection between Delorius and Bender. Bernstein explained, quote, Deloria's own career reflected how dramatically fashions in diagnosis and treatment could change. In the 1940s, he had worked on a Bellevue Hospital research project directed by Loretta Bender, which used electroshock treatment, ECT, on children aged 4 to 11 who had been diagnosed as schizophrenic, page 141. In the papers of Loretta Bender, there is a letter dated February 23, 1949 from Bender, signed as, quote, Associate Professor of Psych, NYU College of Medicine, Senior Psychiatrist, Bellevue Hospital, to now Dr. Delorius at Brooklyn College Educational Clinic. It was concerning a request he had made about, quote, the Gestalt test, one of the creations Bender is famous for and hailed for by other psychiatrists, the Bender Gestalt test, which is still used today. One other communication between Bender and Delorius occurred on May 31st, 1956. Two of the more interesting pieces of information in this letter are, first, Bender's announcement of, quote, a new position with the state and my office and main working place for the summer will be at Creedmoor State Hospital. The second interesting piece about this communication was the stationery it was on, because it gives indication to the private-public partnership of organized psychiatry, which was discussed as a problematic in the DeVoice dissertation, which at the time that I wrote this, that was still in preparation. That's how old this is. This was written probably, I defended in 2014. And I found this information about Loretta Bender like literally 3 weeks before my defense. And then later wound up in the process. Yeah, I extended the dissertation because I included much of this in the dissertation. And I went to Brooklyn College Library because I was at the Graduate Center, City University of New York at the time. I, of course, wasn't supposed to do any of this. They locked me up when I was 15 and had me in special ed, right? Anyway, all right. So, quote, but back to, like, what I'm saying. So, returning to the late 1944 and early 1945 communications between Bender and Delorius, Bender specified that she was given, quote, another grant for research, end quote, which indicated that she had previous funding for this work. So according to a June 26, 1944 letter to Lewis from Bender, discussion of a request for funds from Scottish Rite Masons was made. Bender wrote, quote, at the Scottish Rite meeting, I referred to our plans to make some investigation into the heredity. At the Scottish Rite meeting, I referred to our plans to make some investigation into the hereditary factors of the schizophrenic children who have been under observation on this ward for the last 10 years, the papers of Loretta Bender. In a report on 30 of the children that had been electroshocked at Bellevue Hospital, Bender and Grugin in 1957 reported, quote, 14 had mothers who were known to be schizophrenic. Page 139. They acknowledge that, quote, even though careful consideration has long been given in our study of individual patients to hereditary data, its collection is well known to be difficult and these reported data may well be minimal. Page 139. Bender's June 26, 1944 request to the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Masons through Lewis at the New York State Psychiatric Institute was to Helen Frostenson, a psychiatric social work student, the papers of Loretta Bender. This request seems to have been granted. In a November 13, 1944 letter to Sarah Irvine, New York School of Social Work, Bender responded to the dissatisfaction Irvine had with Frostenson's fieldwork under Bender, which was detailed in a letter from Irvine to Bender dated October 20th, 1944. Bender, unlike Irvine, was satisfied with the work that Frostenson conducted at Bellevue, which included, quote, the family and hereditary problems of schizophrenic children, which was our main focus at this time, end quote. Bender explained, quote, she showed keen interest in all this work and a real ability to carry it through. She also quickly interested herself in the research work, which was active on the ward in several fields. The research work is carried out with the New York University Medical School and Bellevue Hospital and two fellowships from the Scottish Rite Fund. End quote, the papers of Loretta Bender. Further, in an application for grant in aid submitted to the Federal Security Agency Public Health Service, which was made by Bender on February 15, 1952, on behalf of New York University Bellevue Medical Center, a request for funds totaling $33,940 was made, with the anticipation of requiring $33,000 for each of the following 4 years. The papers of Loretta Bender. Using the CPI inflation calculator, this in 2014 equates to $294,368.79, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. These public tax dollars were to support Bender's research on, quote, childhood schizophrenia. Through this proposed five-year grant, the experimenting on children by means of electroshocking them was to continue to take place. in this request for aid, in addition to a, quote, moving picture apparatus and, quote, equipment for physiological research, was included the purchase of an, quote, electric shock machine. Additionally, in the application where applicants were asked to list, quote, previous and current public health service grants in support of this project, end quote, Bender named grant number, quote, MH171 CS end quote, the title of the project, quote, quote, childhood schizophrenia, and the amount as $21,276 per year from 1949 to 1952. Most interestingly, pertaining to the earlier discussion on the funding from the Masons and the section of the application which requests the applicant to list all of the support, the title of the project Bender offered was the, quote, Committee on Research on Dementia Praecox. The source was the Scottish Rite Funds for Childhood Schizo. And the amount and year's support are as follows. $2,500 per year in 1941 through 1943, $4,500 per year in 1943 to 1947, and $1,800 per year in 1947 through 1948. Some portion of those funds went to Loretta Bender to assist with her research on the use of electroshock on children said to be schizophrenic. For example, on a New York University monthly control budget statement dated November 1948, research identification number 2344, the, quote, Dementia Praecox Research Fund showed an available balance of $1,000 and previously reported $1,000 with expenditures to date reported as $1,000. The papers of Loretta Bender. The person from the Du Bois Project who named Loretta Bender in his environmental workography was admitted to Bellevue Hospital in electroshock in 1944. This would place him inside of the group of children who Bender and her colleagues were reporting on while receiving funding from the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Masons. As discussed in Du Bois, the Masons still have a fund for research on schizophrenia. According to one of the multitude of Masonic websites, quote, in 1934, the Scottish Rite Supreme Council appropriated funds for research into causes and potential cures for schizophrenia. At the time, the disease was known as dementia praecox. The funds were directed through the National Committee for Mental Hygiene and later through the National Association for Mental Health. Quote, Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, Scottish Rite Freemasonry, 2000 through 2014. It's important to note that the National Committee for Mental Hygiene, Clifford Beers, Adolf Meyer, William James, renamed itself the National Association for Mental Health and is now known as Mental Health America. Monica Lewinsky was their keynote last year. I wanted to call her. I swear to God, I wanted to call her. Okay, it's important to note that the National Committee on Mental Hygiene is now called Mental Health America, and it is a powerful lobbying organization. From Mental Health America's own perspective on the organization's history, quote, on February 19, 1909, Beers, along with philosopher William James and psychiatrist Adolf Meyer, embraced that future by creating the National Committee for Mental Hygiene, later the National Mental Health Association, and what we know today as Mental Health America, end quote. Of course, there are multiple problematic connections between the founders of the National Committee on Mental Hygiene, Clifford Beers and Adolf Meyer, and eugenics. Clifford Beers, 1909, had been an inmate who, when freed, worked to end abusive practices of psychiatry and whose autobiography, in part, spurred the mental hygiene movement. Referring to, quote, Uncle Tom's Cabin, he asked, quote, why cannot a book be written which will free the helpless slaves of all prison colors confined today in the asylums and sanitariums throughout the world? Beers in 1909, page 217. Beers wrote of Meyer, quote, I took an important step in this direction by enlisting the interest of Dr. Adolf Meyer, who was then director of New York State Psychiatric Institute at Ward's Island, and who later became director of the Phipps Clinic at the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. I had been told that he was one of the main, he was one man of all others in his special field whose support should be secured if possible. Dr. Meyer, for a long time, had wished that some auxiliary movement such as my plan called for might be inaugurated in this country. He and I, therefore, at once began to collaborate. To Dr. Meyer belongs the credit for selecting the term, quote, mental hygiene to characterize the movement, an apt selection expressing not only the idea of amelioration of conditions among the insane, but also that the prevention, that is the prevention of mental diseases. Adolf Meyer and Clifford Beer's 1907 to 1910, pages 262 through 263, 1909. To forge that relationship and build the membership of the National Committee, on October 27, 1907, Meyer wrote a letter from Ward's Island, New York City, that was to be distributed widely amongst his rank. Meyer wrote, quote, "Since about a month ago, when Mr. Clifford W. Beer was introduced to me by Dr. Stuart Payton, I have had an unusual experience in finding him a man not only without a chip on his shoulder, but one with a sound and worthy conviction that something must be done to meet one of the most difficult but also lamentably neglected problems of sociological improvement. Unlike so many ex-patients to whose efforts we owe in many ways the preposterous forms of legislation concerning the insane and many prejudices about the hospitals, Mr. Beers has given us a description of his personal experiences, has pointed out his own impressions and suggestions for remedy, and has asked for advice with an open mind, with such willingness to accept and use new conceptions of matters not broadly enough viewed by him before, that it looks as if we had at last what we need, a man for a cause. What officialism will never do alone must be helped along by an organized body of persons who have set their hearts on serious devotion to the cause." That was published in Beers' 1909 book on page 264. It was the 25th anniversary edition. Thank you, Amy Smith. Beers, despite his extensive plans and far reach, I imagine, eventually rued the day he involved Meyer in his quest for the humane treatment of people involved with psychiatry. An in-depth historical account of his life and work of Beers will be presented in another article. However, it is important to note here that despite the rapid expansion of the National Committee on Mental Hygiene, NCMH, Grob in 1994 suggested that a combination of the Great Depression and the workers of NCMH losing the point and understanding of their organization's lofty goals added heavy weight onto Beers. Decades later, after an initial falling out between he and Meyer, quote, Beers even persuaded Meyer to take an active role in the NCMH. He was already experiencing another major emotional crisis. Once again, he became depressed and delusional. In 1939, he was admitted to Butler Hospital. See, I didn't know that then. You don't know why I'm laughing. I currently have filed allegations of regulatory misconduct against Butler Hospital and the New York State Office of Mental Health for their false advertising and mislabeling of the electroshock device. He remained, and maybe I knew it, but I didn't know it. Like, that's the thing about history. It's like, you can hear these things over and over again, but until it really starts to, like, connect and all of the different spaces, like, kind of develop that web, it can be very hard to figure out what's going on and how it's all working. I wonder how long I've been doing this now. An hour. Yeah, I'm on page 17 of 44. I think that's enough for now. All right. If you'd like to be involved with this project, contact me, 516-319-4295. This is a reading of Loretta Bender, The Children's Shock Doc, a manuscript that I'm in the process of preparing for publication. Well, to submit to be published somewhere. Okay, until next time, 516-319-4295. Have a good night, everyone. Those of you who are on Twitch, I'm still here. I'm just